The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for their baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace and peace to you in the name of God, our Creator and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a good day to worship together, and I'm glad you all made it, even with a little bit of snow and cold that we have. Don't days like today make you just want to go home and curl up with your favorite warm mug and watch a holiday movie? That might be what we're doing today, I guess. How many of you like a good Hallmark rom-com this time of year? Yes, some hands flew up really fast and some were like, "Oh." Yes, I know you're out there and I am right along with you. I love the romance genre, whether it is books or movies. I especially love a romantic story with a royal twist. Did you know that Hallmark has an entire sub-genre called royal titles? Or royal films, excuse me. This is the kind of film where an unknowing normal person accidentally falls in love with a hidden royal, and then the whole plot is they have to figure out what they're gonna do with this relationship. When Disney's The Princess Diaries came out, I was the very impressionable age of 8, and so I am an absolute sucker for this kind of plot. Just like in The Princess Diaries, I would dream that some long-lost relative in the form of Julie Andrews would come and say that I was really meant to be royalty of some long-lost land. And if that didn't work, then my plan was to study abroad in Europe and marry a prince. Instead, I got an engineer, but it's all good. Imagine that some of you at some point in your childhood, in your life, may have wanted a Prince Charming or a perfect princess, if not in the form of a romantic partner, then in the form of a grandchild, which you get to spoil and be unconditionally loved by. Even ancient Israel had a dream about the reign of a perfect royal ruler. In our Isaiah reading that you heard today, there was a dream, a prophecy, for a righteous and just leader to come and bring a peaceful realm. When this vision was written, this tiny but mighty United Kingdom of Israel was actually broken into two. The northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah were at odds with each other. They had different monarchies. They fought over social, economic, and political issues. And eventually, soon in the book of Isaiah, the northern kingdom is going to be conquered by the Assyrian Empire. It was a tumultuous time in the region. However, even with the corruption, destruction, and despair, the people had hope for a better tomorrow, as displayed in the words of Isaiah. They dream of their own Prince Charming and peaceful domain. This ruler will come from the family lineage of Jesse and King David. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. These gifts of the Spirit show that this ruler will be thoughtful and discerning and follow God rather than his own selfish desires. He will not rule or judge from his own perspective or his own whims, but will be just and righteous in taking care of the poor. He will not use war, but words to govern. And in this dream, the entire world will be so full of goodness that even the animal kingdom is at peace. Predators and prey will live in harmony, and little children will not be in danger, but thriving and leading. This ruler and his realm will influence all the nations to live in peace. It is a beautiful dream. This ruler would have totally made, for me, a Hallmark movie heartthrob. Now, as Christians, we interpret Jesus to be this ruler for whom we wait. He is the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings. He's indeed a descendant of David, and we trust that he is going to come to make all the world right. Jesus rules his realm with love and mercy and grace. There's only one slight issue. Christ's kingdom is not yet on earth as it is in heaven. However, I refuse to believe that this dream in Isaiah is some useless, far-off fairy tale. God does not leave us to struggle on our own, wishing for some Prince Charming to come and make all our dreams come true. Instead, God invites us to participate in building this peaceful and royal realm. In our baptism, we are made one with Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as it says in Galatians, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So through our baptism, we have some royal promises bestowed upon us. We are God's children, we are heirs to God's promises, and we are extension of the body of Christ. So that sounds like a royal formula to me. I don't need to marry a prince. Through our baptism, we are just as precious as any monarch. Instead of a crown of jewels on our foreheads, we are marked with the sign of the cross. Instead of the finest silk robes or clothes, we wear simple white garments. And instead of living for ourselves, in our baptism, we are encouraged to live for one another. Through baptism, we can lead lives that make a difference in this earthly reign of Jesus, all with the help of the Holy Spirit. Notice what the pastor says during the laying on of the hands part of the baptismal liturgy. At this point, the baby, has just had water put over their head, and then the pastor says, "We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. Sustain this child with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen." We have the gifts of the Spirit within us. These gifts, just like for the room, with how God is calling us to live in our little corner of the world. We don't have to rule entire nations to make a difference. How you lead your household, your friends at school, your project team, your family, how you lead your life can help build a more peaceful planet. We can live in ways that add to Christ's reign of love and grace, and we do so with the royal anointing of the Holy Spirit. So, my friends, this Advent season, as we wait for Christ to come, to truly put things right with all the world, may we remember our own majestic leadership. No matter how small or large a role you have, the Holy Spirit is calling us to lead our life with love. Let us pray. Stir up your Spirit within us, O God. Guide us to follow the Spirit's wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of you. May we always have the spirit of joy in your presence and lead our lives with your love. Amen.